Good morning. How's everybody doing? Man, what's up with this weather? Man, as a pastor, you hate when you wake up on Sundays and it's cold because people just look for an excuse not to go to church. So I know the real Christians are here today, so I want to thank you for all for being here today. I hope you all are having a great weekend. I'm so honored that you've chosen to worship with us today. And if you're a visitor, if this is your first time here or first time in a long time, I just want to say welcome. We are humbled that you are here with us today. And as a token of our appreciation, I just want to ask you to stop back by the Information Center at the conclusion of our morning worship service. We would love to get acquainted with you. And we have a special gift for you as a token of our appreciation for you being here today. Heard a story this week about passengers on an airplane that were boarded and that was about to take off when all of a sudden a voice comes on over the intercom saying, "Welcome to the very first totally automated commercial flight. This airplane has no pilots. It is being completely controlled by the most up-to-date and sophisticated and advanced computer system available. It has been tested and retested. You have nothing to worry about. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. And enjoy the flight, and enjoy the flight, and enjoy the flight." Dumb joke. The good news is we have a co-pilot, and that is God the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. His presence dwells within us and is there to guide us and direct us. And so we are in the middle of a series, week two, of what I've titled The Overlooked God. The Overlooked God, where we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We are answering questions or misunderstandings that many of us have or grew up with when it came to the Holy Spirit. Nobody really has a problem when we say God the Father, because we have a Father, we can relate to that. Nobody really has a problem when we say God the Son, we get that, we've seen the pictures of Jesus. But when it comes to people saying God the Holy Spirit, some people, it makes them nervous. It makes them nervous. It's like they don't want to talk about God, the Holy Spirit. It's nervous. So we are kind of just answering some miscommunication about the Holy Spirit. So the purpose of this series is for us to gain a biblical understanding of who exactly the Holy Spirit is and what exactly does the Holy Spirit do. One of the key points from last week's message is you can be normal and still believe in the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we answered the question, who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? We learned that he's a person. He is a person. He is our helper. He is our friend, and he's not weird, and he is our God. That word, the Spirit, it's mentioned in the Bible over 800 times. For example, in the Old Testament, the word Spirit comes from the word ruach, which means wind, breath. In the New Testament, the word Spirit, in the Greek, it's translated to the word pneuma, which means a current of air, or a breath of air, or a blast of air. So the Holy Spirit is like the wind of God. Sometimes it's a gentle breeze. Other times he may be a mighty rushing wind of power. So next week we're going to talk about spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say power. The power of the Holy Spirit. When you look throughout the Old Testament, you see the power of the Spirit working in countless ways. For example, the Spirit gave Joseph the skill and power to rule over Egypt. The Spirit gave Joshua military power. One time the Spirit gave two unknown men power to work in their crafts. The Holy Spirit gave words and powers to prophets to speak prophetically over God's people. One time the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, if you remember the story of Gideon, and gave him power to lead the Abizarites into battle. In Judges chapter 14, verse 6, we see the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power so that he could tear the lion apart with his bare hands. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6 shows the words of Samuel to Saul, where Samuel tells Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. The power of the Spirit. In the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit's power everywhere. For example, in fact, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you remember the story, an angel visits Mary, and she asks, the angel tells Mary that she's going to have a son. Mary asks the angel, how can this be? To which the angel replies, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. When Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God was raised from the power of the Spirit. Before Jesus ascended into heaven after the resurrection, he promised his followers he would send them a gift, and that gift would be the power of the Holy Spirit. That same powerful Spirit is available today to all of those of us who believe in Jesus. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As you are turning to Acts chapter 1, I'm curious, I'd like to ask you all a question. How many of you who are Christians, you've met other Christians in your life and that seem to have more spiritual power than you do? Just raise your hand. They seem to have more spiritual power than you do. For example, when they pray, you feel the spiritual power of their prayers, and you're thinking, man, if I was God, I would answer their prayers because they sound so powerful when they pray. Or maybe you know somebody that in conversation, they can just randomly, in the middle of a conversation, quote the Bible and quote passages of Scripture in the Bible. For example, we have an elder. He loves to just randomly throw out verses in the Bible, and I'll be talking to him, and he'll just quote verses like in Obadiah. I forgot Obadiah was even a book. He'll quote Zephaniah, and I'm constantly fact-checking him. He says, you know, Obadiah chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. I'm like, no way. So I'll go back and fact-check, and sure enough, he's right. Who does that? People who have spiritual power, more spiritual power than you do. Or when something happens and goes wrong, the people that seemingly have more spiritual power, they're not shaken. Their faith is not shaken. There is a real deep spiritual confidence. And you wonder, how is it that this fellow Christian seemingly has more power than I do? The answer is, maybe they do have more power than you do. The truth is, there are many Christians, many people who are more surrendered to the power that is available by God through the Holy Spirit than others. I'll illustrate it this way. Years ago, we were living in Canyon, and I had a dog kennel out behind my house, and I was having some sewer issues with my dog kennel. So I was needing to dig down beneath the ground and replace about a 25-foot sewer line that was attached to my septic system for my dogs. So I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I was ready to attack the day and repair this. So I put on my work gloves, got my little shovel, and I started attacking the ground as hard as I could, as strong as I could. 2 hours later, my hands are bleeding. My little arms are just exhausted. And as I'm frustrated, I get a call from my good friend Dave. He says, hey, J-Mo, what are you doing today? Well, I'm trying to dig out a 25-foot trench for my sewage system for my dogs. To which he says, hey, don't you remember I've got a bobcat in a trencher? And so right there in that moment, I just paused. And I thanked the Lord for my friend Dave. He said, I'll be right over. And so sure enough, within 45 minutes, here he comes. He pulls up with a big trailer, hauling this tractor-looking thing on steroids. And he gets out, and he unloads the trencher. And within minutes, there he was, digging my 25-foot-long trench. Didn't take any time at all. It was beautiful. It was just gorgeous as a dog kennel septic system can be. I'm still thankful today for my friend Dave, because if he had not come along, I probably would still have been trying to accomplish this insurmountable task. Christians today, all over the world, they put on their little work gloves and they take out their little shovel and they say, we are going to live the Christian life. And in their own strength, they strive, they fight, they battle, but they don't get very far. Why? Because they are trying to live a Christian life in their own strength, when there is a far greater power available to them. The Bible says this, and it's amazing, in Romans 8, it says, to those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. You can be filled with the powerful Spirit of God. You have the ability to live a supernatural life in a natural world. But yet, so many Christians, we grab our gloves, we put our gloves on, we grab our shovels, and we struggle. We struggle, we struggle, we struggle without the power that is still available to us, though, through the Holy Spirit. So let's look at that, Acts chapter 1. So let me give you a little bit of a background on what's going on. Jesus had already died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And he was with his disciples and he was having a conversation with them. This was before he would ascend to heaven. So here's how that conversation went, verse 4 of Acts 1. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. What do you think the gift was? The gift was the Holy Spirit. We studied last week, actually, in John 14, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going away, but it's actually better for you that I go away, because when I go, I will send to you the Holy Spirit, which is better for you. So verse 5 of Acts 1. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? John baptized with water, but just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, that word baptized in the Greek comes from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo, and it just means to be immersed. To be immersed. That's why when we baptize you in water here, you go under the water. And if you've been really, really bad and you're a really big sinner, I hold you down longer under the water. And I keep you down until I see bubbles. I want to see bubbles so that when you come up, you're so thankful that you're alive in the Lord. Immersed. I want those sins washed away. This is what Jesus said. He said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but not just filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptizo. You're going to be immersed. You're going to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be immersed by the powerful Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen to you when this takes place? Well, Jesus tells them in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. Let's look at it. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, so when we receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, what are we going to be able to do? You will be my witnesses, Jesus says, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you, you will receive power. Now that word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite, dunamis. It means a force. It means miraculous power. If you're taking notes, that word dunamis means the explosive power of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will baptize you and you will have dunamis. You will have an explosive power of God. So then Jesus says to his disciples that you're going to be empowered by the Spirit to take my message all over the world. You may say, well, what's the big deal about that? taking his message all over the world. I think it's important for us to remember who exactly Jesus is talking to at this specific point in time. He's talking to his disciples who for the last 3 years, they couldn't get much right. Not one time did Jesus tell his disciples, "You guys have such great faith. I can't believe I get to hang out with you spiritual giants." He didn't say that one time to his disciples. But instead, over and over and over again, Jesus was telling his disciples, basically, "Don't you guys get it? You are walking with me. You're talking with me, but you still have such little faith." Think about the disciples. You've got Peter. Peter was kind of sort of the ringleader. In fact, he tells Jesus, "Jesus, I'm always going to be with you. I'm your guy. I'm never going to leave you. I'm your man." But yet, before the crucifixion, he denied Jesus 3 different times. At the cross, Jesus had already told his disciples, "I'm going to give my life." But at the cross, only one, John, showed up at the foot of the cross. The others were in hiding. Jesus died. He rose from the grave. And where were his fearless disciples when this happened? They were locked in a tiny room, scared of the Jewish authorities. Even when he came back, Jesus knocked on the door. He said, "Hey guys, I'm back." The women had told the disciples, but they still didn't believe him. Thomas, we all know about Thomas. He had heard from the other 10 that Jesus was back. Thomas even saw Jesus, but he wouldn't believe it until he actually touched the scars. Jesus looked at these very ordinary men, these groups of ordinary, common men, and he tells them, "You will have power, explosive power, to take my message all over the world." And here we are this morning in church today at this very moment, declaring the lordship of Christ in churches like this around the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon very ordinary people and gave them the power to take his message to the world. The same powerful Spirit is available today to all who believe. So take off your little work gloves. Put down your little shovel. Stop trying to live a Christian life in your own limited strength. And surrender to the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do to this morning is I want to give you 4 distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give to all believers. 4 distinct qualities. The Holy Spirit gives power, number 1, for you to boldly share Christ. Number 1, the Holy Spirit empowers you to boldly share Christ. Look at the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." Verse 5, "I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Paul is saying here, basically, I'm not the most eloquent speaker. My sermons and speeches are plain. But when you saw me show up, Paul is telling them, the power of the Holy Spirit was there. Quite honestly, I can relate to this. It's my prayer every single Sunday. I know that I'm not the best preacher. I know I'm not the smartest preacher. I know that some of my jokes really aren't that funny. Actually, they're all pretty funny. But my prayer every single Sunday is that God would just use me to communicate a message to you, and that the Holy Spirit would give me the power to communicate it to you so that you could understand it and so that lives can be transformed and so you can learn more about Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to communicate the message of Christ in a life-transforming way. When I officially started preaching here at Briarwood back in 2020, I was scared to death. In fact, the first few Sundays, I thought I was going to throw up before I walked out on the platform. That's how nervous and scared I was. But early on in my, like in the first month after Sunday service one morning, I was back in the rotunda just greeting all the people as they leave, as I do every Sunday. And an elderly gentleman walked up to me and said, "Pastor, that was a pretty good sermon." To which I replied, "It wasn't me, it was all the Holy Spirit." To which he replied, "It wasn't that good." I think there's some truth in those words. But if you have ever felt maybe uncomfortable, unqualified, underqualified, and not good enough to share your faith, there's nobody that understands that better than me. I was terrified to talk about Jesus to others. When I felt God calling me in 2019 to the ministry, I knew God was calling me to do it, but yet I still had not yet taken the leap of faith that I needed to take. A friend of mine called me on the phone, and my friend Israel spelled with an E. He came over to my house and he called me. He's like, "I'm coming over to your house." I was like, "Come on." I thought he was coming over to talk baseball because we coached baseball together for many years. But when he got to my house, he said, "I feel like the Holy Spirit has wanted me to come over and pray with you as you are being called to the ministry." He just confirmed to me everything that God had already spoken to me. He said, "So I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do that. Do you mind if I pray with you?" I said, "Sure, you know, you can pray for me." I knew nothing was going to happen. It's what great faith I had. So he laid hands on me and started praying for me. Now, sometimes when people pray for you, I don't know about you, but sometimes when people pray for me, sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit working and sometimes I don't. It really doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what God does. But in that specific moment, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit as he prayed for me. And since that prayer, I've never backed down because I know it's the Holy Spirit that gives me the power to share Christ. He can also give you the power, the same power to share Christ if you will just trust him. You don't have to be a pastor to share Christ. In fact, sometimes pastors even get it wrong. One of my youth pastors growing up, he was up here on this platform. He got to preach on a Sunday morning, which was an honor that my dad did not give very often. So my youth pastor was up here speaking to the congregation, and he decided that he was going to lead the congregation in the Lord's Prayer. So he's going through the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil with liberty and justice for all." Even pastors don't get it right. But have the faith because the Holy Spirit gives you the power to share Christ with others. In fact, I just have a feeling this week that many of you, you're going to be in a conversation somewhere with somebody. And those of you who are believers, you're going to feel prompted to share Christ with that very person. That person needs God and you've got an opening. Take it. You might hesitate, but follow the prompting of the Spirit. Have the faith to know he's going to give you the power. "Well, I don't know what to say." Just do it. Watch what happens. Maybe you'll be in the middle of a place and you feel God speaking to you to pray for somebody. "Well, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know how to pray in public. Every time I pray, it's like I pray like, 'Dear 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus.'" No, don't pray like that. God will help you. He will help you. The power of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you access and he'll give you the power to share Christ boldly. So number one, the Holy Spirit empowers you to boldly share Christ. Number two, He will give you power when you are weak. He will give you power when you are weak. And I just feel like this is going to speak to some of you this morning. He will give you power when you are weak. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." Now, how does he help us? Watch what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. Your Bible may say he makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we are weak. Think about that. God, the Holy Spirit, prays for you when you are weak. Here's the deal. Many of us, we put our work gloves on. We got our shovel in our hand. When we are weak, the Holy Spirit is made perfect. I'll give you an example. I used to like to work out. Yeah, it's been a long time ago. In fact, this story is from college, so many years ago. Me and a friend of mine named Brandon Osborne, we called him Oz. We would work out after class every day at WT. And Oz was just a machine, and he would push me so hard. One day we showed up to the weight room. Oz was kind of like my personal trainer. I just let him tell me what I was doing for the day. One afternoon, Oz said, "Hey, we're doing a burnout set today. We're going to burn out." For those of you that don't know what a burnout set is, you put on very lightweight and you just do as many reps as you can. Lightweight. And it exhausts until you, it just exhausts you until your muscles are so fatigued you just basically give out. So, I put on some lightweight on bench press. Oz is going to spot me. All right, it was just the bar, okay? And we decided to do a set of 20 reps. So I do the first 10 reps pretty easy, no problem. But then about rep 12, I hit the wall. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, I started struggling. So there Oz is, he's behind me, he's help him spot me, you know, just yelling at him, "You got it, you got it, you got it." So I get to 15, set rep 15. I got nothing left. I just let go of the bar. Oz doesn't realize I let go of the bar. And he's just going, "Come on, you got it, you got it." The last five reps I didn't even do. He didn't even know that. It was awesome. But in a real sense, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. We get to the end of our strength, but the Holy Spirit is strong when we cannot be strong. He can do that for you. He can do that for me. He helps us and gives us power in our weaknesses. I don't know where you're at today, but wherever you are weak, the Holy Spirit can be strong. You may be a parent. You may be thinking, "I don't know what to do with these kids. They are just way too much for me." The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. Ask him. Maybe you have a presentation coming up this week and you're thinking, "Man, I hate speaking in front of people. I get nervous. I freeze. My voice is going to shake." Ask the Holy Spirit, because where you are weak, he can be strong. You may have a sin in your life that you just cannot seemingly overcome. You've been taking your work gloves and you put them on, you take your little shovel and you've been working, 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 but I just can't overcome this sin in my life. The Holy Spirit can give you the power when you are weak. Just call on him. In fact, look at what the Bible says, and I love this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. This is where Paul was talking about the thorn in his flesh. The thorn in his flesh, and this is what Paul says in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses,' Paul says, 'and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will allow you to share, to boldly share your faith with others. But he will also give you power when you are weak. Number three, the Holy Spirit will give you power to have hope in a hopeless world. He will give you the power to have a hope in a hopeless world. This thought and this scripture for many of you is going to be life today. And I pray that the Spirit will speak directly to you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's such a life-giving passage of scripture. Paul said, I pray that God, the source of hope, everybody say hope, the source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people today, they're living life with limited power. For example, if this bottle of water, if this water were to represent hope in their lives, this is the way they're living. It's limited with how much is in here. It's limited. This is the way a lot of people are living. They're not overflowing with hope. They have very limited hope. If we put our hope in anything besides God, you need to understand it's going to be limited. If we put hope in ourselves, we have limited hope. If we put hope in other people, they have limited hope. If we put hope in our circumstances will only take us so far. Our hope is limited because we're putting it in something that's not an unlimited God. The good news, though, is if you put your hope in God, he can cause you to overflow with confident hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are hurting today, if you are afraid, if you're scared, if you're in pain, put your hope in God. And when we do, we're promised that there will be overflow in our life, overflow of joy, hope by the Spirit. Let's say you lose your job. Put your hope in Him. Let Him be your provider. Let's say someone you love is sick. Put your hope in God. Let Him be your healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God. Let Him be your comforter. If you lose someone, as much as it hurts, we don't have to grieve life with no hope. We can put our hope in God and the promise of the resurrection and glory eternally in heaven. If you're hurting today, put your hope in God. Hope in anything else is limited. If you're here this morning and you're hurting today, I pray that this verse of Scripture becomes very real for you. So real that even though you don't see anything to be hopeful about, that you know by putting your hope in God, you can have overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing I want to show you today is unquestionably the most important. Number four, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all of the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all of the fullness of God. Some of you may be thinking, well, what does that mean? Experience all of the fullness of God. What does that mean? Here's what I've noticed about just Christians in general, especially in our country. I believe so many people have reduced Christianity to like the lowest common denominator. We want to do the bare minimum for Christ. Basically, Christians, so many people today, Christians, are Yes, I believe in God. Yeah, I pray every now and then. I check the box there. Yes, I was water baptized. Yeah, I joined a church. I go once every 6 weeks. Yeah, I read the Bible every now and then. I try to be a good person. And ultimately, when you look at the lives of Christians, they don't look so much different than the world in 2024. We're still hurting. We're still addicted. We're still filled with worry. We're still broke. We're still struggling. Our marriages are still struggling. We have no real faith and we have no real victory. Why? Why is that so? Because we have no power. We lack power, power, power. So many people don't really understand who God is and what He has for you. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience the fullness of God. Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesus. I want to show you this prayer, and I pray this for our church this morning and our church family. This prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, where Paul says this, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." Why? Because you need this power. Paul goes on to say, "Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Verse 19. "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." If you've ever wondered, is there more to Christianity? Is there more to this Christianity thing? There's got to be more. Trying to do the good stuff, trying not to do the bad stuff, is there more? The answer is yes. There is so much more. There is the reality of the constant presence of God living in you through the Holy Spirit. You can have that. And when you have that, you have peace that surpasses all human understanding. When you have that, manifested is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can be led and walk by faith and not by sight. You can have joy unspeakable. And you can have supernatural strength. We can never do it in our own strength. But there is another power available to all of us who have accepted Christ.